Channel One Right. This is Channel One Right and beginning to talk with Herbert this Thursday, the 22nd of January, 75. Channel One Right, beginning of Channel One Right and beginning of talk with Herbert, with Jerry and Faye, this Thursday, the 22nd of January, 75. Channel One Right, Channel One Right, and beginning of visit with Herbert, with Jerry and Faye, this Thursday, the 22nd of January, 75. Channel One Right, beginning of the visit with Herbert, this Thursday, the 22nd of January, 76.
Thank you.
Fine ashtray.
And as good as you want.
Yes, sir.
Got a little horse's foot is infected. Got a little place running pus out of it.
Oh, it has?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't there last night.
Well,
you might not notice it, but that pus is gathering around all in there, see? Well, she bruised it. It had to come out somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well?
But I'd rub her leg with some Absorbine.
That's what I was trying to think of. A little of that Absorbine.
Yeah.
We got a little of that. I ought to have
the
some
full
of that
strength is
full
the
strength
best, yeah. And put some Furox on that.
These
are
your jars.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll fill them up and bring something else back. I don't see why we didn't bring something this morning. Got it.
We ought to put something in them and send them back.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's all right.
Lord.
God, I like to can, and I like to do this, that, and the other. I like to mess with stock, but I've a damn thing got to where I can't.
Well, you do it right smart of it.
How
yeah
much you put up? You already put up all those collards today.
Yeah, put up 19 quarts this morning.
Yeah, I saw 19
19.
Milton brought one out. Looked beautiful.
Oh.
Lord's gonna cook them for our supper.
Now, what do you think? She got it in the fence and skinned it, and it's a little infected?
Guy, it's bruised, and evidently, from what it looks like, a barbed wire or
yeah
a nail or stick
yeah
or something
yeah
has been stuck in there.
Yeah.
And it's running now.
Well,
it's like a rising.
Uh-huh.
And you put some of that dang Absorbine on there and some Furox for healing it. That Furox, if you get a salve or a spray, either one. And I'll give you a piece of one of them jars I got at the house there. They go, you know what I mean? They have Furox, got the same thing in it.
Yeah.
It's another drug that they got a salve, and I've got, I think, some of both of them at the house.
And then
I'm buying a little old jar about that big round, about that high, about $3 or $4.
And a shot of penicillin.
Yeah, I'd definitely give her penicillin.
And
if she's had a tetanus shot within a year,
well, she
I wouldn't bother with it. If it's been over a year, I'd give her a shot of.
Yeah.
I'd give her the tetanus shot if she hadn't had one in the last 12 months.
Yeah, she has.
And did you know if you give a horse a tetanus shot, you're supposed to have another shot and go with it, a shock shot?
Yeah.
And some of them go in the shock and you give them that damn tetanus?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Huh? Did you say?
I guess I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they have, I didn't forget what it's called. I think I got some at the house. I'm not sure. I believe I got one more damn shot of it at the house.
Hmm.
Yeah, they go in shock if you give them that stuff. And especially if you give them sleeping sickness.
Yeah.
They go into shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lots of times they're a horse wheel with penicillin. You know what I mean? You give them a
penicillin?
No. Tetanus.
Yeah.
I never know one to go in the shock and give him my penicillin.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And we carried that calf home yesterday afternoon and let him nurse the old cow and then went back and gave him 5 cc's of penicillin. But
oh,
gave him 5 more today and 5 tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know that about a calf.
Yeah, I always give calf penicillin when you take him away from one cow and put him on another.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yes, sir. This was a newborn calf. See, he come out Monday. Because I went and traded for him for Milton before he was 2 hours old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In other words, the cow just had the calf, and he was trying to get him in the pen. And Milton was wanting to buy a little cow to put on the calf, keep the cow from, keep her from having milk cow.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go buy a calf, going to go buy a calf. When me and Milton went to look at a bull, he wanted to trade bulls with the lady.
Yeah.
And we went to look at the bull, and he was talking about buying a calf. I said, pull in over here. I said, the fella I know runs this dairy.
Yeah.
And he pulled in there, and I talked to the boy a little bit. They said, they have a calf. He said, not that I know of. I said, yeah, one of those boys bringing up out, didn't they? By God, I want him. He said, well, if it's a bull, you can get him. He said, it's a heifer, we don't sell a heifer.
Uh-huh.
And we got the, yeah, you're going to wear out the damn machine there directly.
Just reusing it up.
Just use it up. And the old boys, we went around and looked at him. Sure enough, he's a bull.
Yeah.
He said, well, now you can't get him for 3 days. Said, the boss won't sell him until he's 3 days old.
Well, that's, I'm
that's
glad
so they'll get
that.
That colostrum.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, now, by God, I want that damn calf. He said, well, I don't know whether the boss man sold him yet or not. He said, first come is first served. I said, by God, I'm first come. Goddamn, if you tell him I was here for, when the cow had him then. And he called the man and phoned the damn place. And he said, yeah, just take him up Wednesday morning. So we went and picked him up. Got the damn collar green, went and looked at the bull. There's more bulls. And I helped Milton pick him out one. And, of course, now I actually don't like the one, you know what I mean? I don't like them bulls too good, but they are good bulls, a good breeding bull, you know, breeder bulls, because they come to Stardust Ranch. And, but he, up on his shoulders right up here, he had just a little bit too much rise. I like him with a plumb straight back. Now, I like them where that hip comes down. You see it go out like that and come down. I don't like them that straight down. Well, them, he is straight down. And all of them except one got just a little bit of hump in his back. Well, they're hybrid bulls. We got paper down, look at the papers on them. And now, the lady that's got the, that's wanting to trade with him.
Well let me tell you, Herbert, what I need to know is, now, them walking horses, you don't care how they're shaped.
Yeah, you want pretty good shape in one. You know, in showing, walking horses,
yeah,
or any other horse,
yeah,
40% the judge 40% of that judging is on confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. 40%.
Is the way it walks? Or?
It's the build of the horse. How fat he is. How he's built. How he carries himself. You know what I mean? It's a walking horse don't go with his nose sticking out that way, straight up and down.
Uh-huh.
His face is straight up and down.
That's right.
If he carries his chin out, well, that's counted against him.
That's
see, that's
confirmation.
Yeah.
Now, what about his legs in confirmation?
Well, you want them fairly wide apart. Good leg, keen leg on him. Good long foot.
And
instead of setting him up straight this way like you would a five-gate horse and shoot him, you set him way back.
Oh, you do?
Give him a long,
that's
long
right.
toe.
Give him a long toe.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You give a walking horse a long toe.
Yeah.
A long foot, just as long as you can get it.
Well, that's not just for looks.
No, that's for going. Stride.
Mm-hmm. Or you can make a longer stride that way?
Yeah. I rode him where they'd step away, put his front foot this way. That back foot, when he set it up, there would be 42 inches in front of that damn front track.
Oh, and most of the time they just cover the front track.
Yeah. The average horse did.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they just step in them. 42 inches, this back foot would go in front of the front. They have had some that went 48 inches. Some of these world champions stepped over 48 inches, and that's a long damn stride. And when he picks up that front foot, he picks it up and kind of slings it like he's swimming.
Mm-hmm.
steps as far as you can of that, and this back track will go over. That's reading when a walking horse really turned on, you see a little hump in his back. Have you ever noticed it?
Mm-mm.
Damn sure weird, and Rod just says, just like an airplane.
And there's a little hump in his back.
Yeah, just a little. In other words, he's stepping so long, it looks like it's a hump in his back, mm-hmm. but his back is straight when he's just standing. But he's stepping so far, you have to get a hump in his back to get that foot up yonder. And you put weights in their feet, in their front feet especially.
Now, when Wade Stepp was looking at the horse, he could almost see how far that back leg
he was. Did see how far it went. If you were riding a horse and he would look at him, he'd tell you in 2.5-3 inches of how far that damn horse was striding, what they call striding. That's stepping over his front track. And, Bertie, that's what they want. They want that stripping over that front track, striding.
They want that.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's not what you mean when you say he watched and if he missed a beat.
That's right. In other words, just a little bit one-sided that way. You know what I mean? Not like he's pacing or racking. You know, if a horse is pacing and racking, he goes, his front end goes this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he goes this way, wait another. He wants that horse straight up and down, that head straight up and down. He don't want that head to wobble a bit and his front shoulder. He wants to plumb straight. You got to go straight.
The shoulders can't wobble.
No, the head don't wobble.
And the head has to be straight up?
Straight up and down, go this way. But he don't go like that.
Well, now, when you're down there at the end of that oval runway.
Yeah.
And you're looking at him coming to you, going from you.
Well, you can tell what he's doing, where he's wobbling at all or not. See, and when you get down over him.
Is his head wobbling?
Yeah. You can tell where his head's wobbling or not. And when you ride him, you can damn sure feel it. If you know what you're looking for, you can feel it just as plain as day.
So when Wade Stepp's watching that horse, he's watching that straightening.
He's watching his straightening, he's seeing how far he steps as he passes him. He can tell you how far he passes. You know, he goes by him. Old Eagle Eye could cut his eye over there and tell you right about how far that horse is striding, how far he's stepping over his front track. I believe he'll tell you within 2.5 to 3 inches.
And if he wasn't stepping over the front track enough, he'd make you go back and come
and
in.
Do it again. Do it again. He'd do it till he do come in right. If he stumbles, blunders, a toe, whatever, you got to do it all over again.
Well,
when he comes into that barn, my God, he got to be just right, or you take him back and ride him again till he do it.
What do you mean?
But if he, you know what I mean, if he breaks over, trots or jogs.
Well, you mean when he's coming into the barn?
Yeah, when you come into the barn with
you
him.
You mean when
put
he,
him up.
When you put him up.
Yeah, when you go to put him up. He got to be perfect, or either then you take him back and bring him in again.
Not only when he comes.
You know, lots of horses, when they go into the barn,
yeah.
They're getting a little bit too damn
hurried.
Oh,
hurry. That's right. That's
they're getting
right.
too damn big a hurry,
that's
and
right.
he'll make a misstep.
Or you'll just bring him to the barn any old way.
Yeah, lots of people do, but in them show horses, you don't.
Now, when you're watching a horse, I've been to so many horse shows, Uncle Darby, and I still don't. I wish I could go with you so I know what to look for. When you see a horse going away from you, like Wade Stepp,
yeah.
would be on this corner.
Yeah.
He's watching that back end.
That's right. And the front. He watches all at one time. You know, lots of horses, when he pick up his foot this way, they'll do it that way.
You'll do.
Kind of twist his foot when he turn it over, they kind of sling it out.
And he would.
Or maybe sling it in.
And he's not going to have that.
He ain't going to have that. By God, he'll reshoe him. You shoe him according to the way you want his feet to go, where it's straight. Or, you know what I mean? If he, what they call winging, does that way or this way, then you shoe, you balance that horse's foot where he'll eventually get to where it's walking perfectly straight.
So he can watch the back end.
And the front.
And the front. But he can watch whether the foot, whether he's winging.
That's right. He watch where he's winging. Where he's too spread-legged, or he's too close.
And then, of course, when he's heading toward him on the other side, then
yeah.
this is that.
He's watching for the same thing and his head and his shoulders.
Now, when he was teaching you to ride, he didn't tell you this all at once.
No, you couldn't get it all at once to save your life. I done it. He, when I left him, he was still teaching me to ride, and I was still showing. That's right. All right, Uncle Dudley, go back, bring him again. And he'd tell you, whoop, like that, when he hollered, whoop. Then you realize the horse had made a mislick. When you come up to him, he'd tell you what the horse done. Now you straighten that out.
What did the horse do?
Maybe stumble, or maybe just broke over a little, you know what I mean, like he's going to strike a trot when he'd be doing a running walk.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel it. When it just pushed that horse and making that mislick, he'd holler and you'd have to do it all over again.
Old eagle
eye.
Yeah. Now, Uncle Dudley, this striding, I'm real interested in this, because this striding, if he goes too many inches one time and not that many inches the next, that would make his rhythm uneven.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
And then that would...
You want him to side one back leg just same as the other one. And now where you straighten that out is mostly in shoeing.
Ain't that
that's hard. Scientific shoeing. Maybe this shoe on this foot needs maybe an ounce or so more on it, or an ounce or so less than the other one.
What do you mean? You got to take the shoe off?
Take the damn shoe off and change your damn shoes and try them again. Yeah. That's scientific shoeing. I studied that some. A good bit.
But a lot of it is how you sitting in that saddle.
Yeah.
And what you're doing with these hands.
What you're doing with your hands and that horse's head. You control the horse with that hands. And you know what I mean. It's got to be just right.
Now,
that horse nods, you give and take with your wrist.
But you've still got that contact with his mouth.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We do.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The
you got a tight rein on him.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I don't mean that. Just pulling back.
But you,
you
give
just
and take.
Give and take as his head goes up and down. When that horse is doing that, your hand's doing this.
Yeah.
But you're not...
You hold them reins a certain way on this horse and another horse that you ride, and you hold the reins under different pressure on it.
How do you hold the reins for that S-bit for walking horse?
The walking horse? I ride with one hand with the walking horse.
That's right, one hand with the walking horse, yeah.
Three or five gated, both
two
of them.
Hands, yeah.
Two sets of reins.
Two sets of reins, double reins, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And in a walking horse, your neck reining all the time.
You got to rein this thing and this.
Yeah, that's right. But you never lose contact with the mouth.
That's right. On any of them. Now, on a road horse, when you get in that little sulky, when you want that horse to trot or jog, you slack it. If you want it to kind of, they don't exactly walk. It's a kind of a trotting walk. And then you have a jog, what they call a jog. That's a horse that's trotting along pretty darn fast. Well, you hold a little bit tighter reins on one for that. And then when you want him to trot on, you just pull them damn reins back and let him pull the damn cart by the damn bits. The harder you pull, the faster he'll go.
On your walking horse, now when you get through with them and you're cooling them off, drying them off with that blanket, now you pull it back a little time.
You roll back about just about that much. You take it on the first go round from your neck. You roll it back over, fold it one time.
About
when that, yeah, when it dries that face, then you take the back one and fold it over just about like that.
Well, now how
and when you get down to the middle, on the last fold, that'll be the wettest place on him, in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, you walk in there and you maybe slide your blanket back or a little foul. See that part of that cool out? You take it off and walk him on to get plumb dry. You can wipe dust off him then.
How could you do that wrong?
Huh? Fold him back too much, or?
Well, how would you catch hell doing something like that?
Well, the man tell you how much to roll it back, and by God, you get on to it right quick. That's not hard to get on to.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Well, why would you catch hell at that?
Well, if you roll it back too far and the horse pulled out too fast, you could give him pneumonia or make the horse sick. He's used to be doing a certain way, and that's the way they want it done.
Yeah, he works you over.
Yeah, he give you a good little fussing out. Don't you think he won't?
Yeah. What do you do when he fuss you out?
I I need to tell you something. You know damn well better than that.
He talked to you?
Yeah. You know damn well better than that. Uncle Dudley, you, by God, you got that blanket too rolled up too much. You ain't got it out enough.
And he'd chew you, though.
Yeah. Of course, you're walking that horse out there where he can be standing around there watching you. And y'all are like, hey, you roll that blanket up too much at one time now.
Yeah.
You cool him out right.
I wouldn't call that chewing out. He's
damn sure. You feel like it when there's a damn slew of them around there, and you feel like he's going to raise hell. You know,
yeah.
Makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. By God, I didn't like it.
But
I didn't like it.
But he's got that horse in mind all the time.
He got that horse in mind, the welfare of the horse. Yeah. I know Firegate horse, I never did like to mess with him because the damn things are too hard to cool out. They exerted itself and got too damn hot, and it took too long to cool one out.
Yeah.
You get tired waiting.
You're darn right.
Well,
but ordinarily, there are lots of time he had niggas to do that walking. Yeah, you go there and you take that damn blanket, baby, and fold it back. You rode the horse, you fold the blanket back. But that nigga doing that walk, just walk him along slow. Start off where he walks him, you know, let the horse walk on fast, and then the more longer he goes, the slower he gets, and after a while, that horse plumb dry.
Hey, let me tell you, we're going to have to do something in a minute. I want to tell you this. You know, I was telling you about this house that we had looked at.
Yeah.
Where Herbert used to live up there. Now, I didn't know who that was who was living there. Don't you know? He said, Grandma Wilson.
Yeah.
He said she died right over there, and he pointed right there to the little bedroom.
The bedroom on the west side of the room, the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his daddy's
mother,
you see.
My daddy's mother.
Your daddy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't living there when you moved in.
No, she'd been dead a long time when I moved in there.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, she'd been dead 23 years, I reckon. But more than that, because, hell, I didn't marry till I was
31,
and God darn, I was just 8 or 9 years old, I think, when she died.
Oh. Well, now, when you and Lola was riding along that little road there.
Yeah.
And you looked over there and see.
That was way years later.
After you lived there.
No, that's before I lived there.
Before you lived there.
Yeah. Before I lived there. That's when we see it, you know, the old house just sitting there, just like you see it sitting now.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't tore down as bad as it
now,
did.
Now, Faye didn't hear you tell about that.
No, I wasn't with you.
About me seeing my grandmother just as plain as I'm looking at you after she'd been dead for years.
Uncle David.
That's right.
They're going along that road.
And she used to drive an old horse. It was riding along down the road, like the house sitting here. We were riding right down that road, and I looked in that window where my grandmother died, and I seen her just as plain as I'm looking at you now.
And she dressed?
And she was dressed just like she always dressed when I used to stay with her when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I first heard that bumping out of that house. As we passed the house, there used to be a mulberry tree sitting out this way toward the old barn and the lot, and I seen her horse and buggy just as plain as I'm looking at you. Where she always on a Sunday morning, she hitched that horse up to the buggy, led it up to that tree, and stopped, and she stood there. You couldn't hit the old bitch. She'd break loose, sure you hit you, but she'd drive up the tree and stop. She'd stand there.
Oh.
And that horse was standing at that old mulberry tree, seeing just plain as I've seen it right here, looking at you. And I know damn well both of them are dead and gone, because I was about 9 years old, I reckon, when Grandma died. And before she died, her old horse died, and me and my oldest brother, the ones you met,
Edward,
me and Daddy and Edward buried the old horse. Grandma had us dig a hole. God damn, we had that horse. But she's a big horse. We're about 1,200 pounds. And I got that horse's top part of it was that deep under the level of the dirt.
That's 6 or 8 foot deep.
By God, you ain't never seen such a hole. But we dug the hole right at the old horse's back, took her by her legs and rolled her over in the hole. And that was all we could do. And of all things, we dug the hole too close to her or something, and her damn old feet stood up this way, and they had to get in there and dig out from under them feet and let her down level. Her feet couldn't stick up any like that up on the bank of her grave.
Yeah.
No, sir. They said, You buried your old Noli just right.
Old Noli.
Noli.
Yeah, that's old horse's name, old Noli. Now, that's the only time ever I seen Grandma after she died, but I actually seen it.
Well, now,
I was born, so the old midwife said to see things that other people couldn't see. I can see it and show it to you.
Oh.
But you can't see it save your life unless I point at it and show it to you. See it there?
Uh-huh.
You can see it.
When
I point, the other person can see it. And I can take my hand down, you can't see a damn thing.
Oh.
That's
and
right.
That's what happened out there?
Yeah. I shut point. I said, look, yonder's Grandma standing in the window. Well, Pearl Campbell and her sister that's dead was riding with me and Lola on the horses. We was living at over there where Lola was living and just rode the horses around that block and down by where LV boys living and back up the house. The only time I ever knowed old man Campbell's youngest ride a horse. And they begged us to be sure and don't tell Papa and Mama that we rode the horses with you and Lola. We was riding them double. Two of us on each damn horse.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you the truth, that got me when I seen Grandma standing in that window. That old bonnet on, an old shawl over her head. Old checkety apron. Just like she used to go around there when she was alive, when I was a little kid.
She had a shawl over her head.
Yeah, had a darn old shawl thing over her head this way. Whatever you call the thing, I think it's a shawl. But anyhow, it's a darn some kind of old wrap at the top, put on the head, and then you put it over this with an old bonnet. And
bonnet on top
of the shawl. Yeah. And, it had a little high piece stick up in the back this way. And then a stiff piece and another darn little old piece stood out, and there's little frills on it. Strings tied it under her neck. I can just imagine, I just almost imagine seeing Grandma right now.
Yeah.
But I remember stuff way back yonder, God, but something had happened the last two or three days. Hell, I don't know what in the hell happened.
Yeah, but that's before you lived in the house.
Oh, yeah, years before I lived in the house. I was 8 or 9 years old and didn't marry till I was 31. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, Uncle Josie, one of Daddy's brothers, bought the place when Grandma died.
Yeah.
Borrowed the money and bought it. He never could pay it back. And old Dr. Jim Bishop had the mortgage on it. And Uncle George was telling Uncle Josie that he was paying the taxes on it for the use of it. And he got all them taxes paid up so many years. And then he told Uncle Josie he didn't have no damn place. He just took it over for tax deed. He bought it in taxes. And he promised Dr. Jim that he would give him his money back. Dr. Jim, what me and Uncle Josie borrowed. It's a good, I think it was $950, taxes for better than 20 years. Interest. Uncle Joe's never did pay a damn nickel on him. And his wife would figure somehow or another that he couldn't pay the damn bill. And Uncle George got to rent it, for paying the taxes. But instead of paying him all the taxes in Uncle George's name, Uncle George took the place. Now, Uncle George is a Skinner.
Oh, he was.
Damn right.
Well, he's the only one in your family.
Oh, no, Uncle George. Uncle George, Uncle Willie.
I mean, on the Skinner.
Well, Uncle Henry was lazy, wasn't in a rogue.
Yeah.
And Daddy was just as long as days is long, and Uncle Willie was, too. But Uncle Willie was lazy as hell. Now, that's one thing I can say for my daddy. There's the only smart one in the whole damn bunch. The daddy and his brothers. Only one that worked.
Your daddy?
Yeah, my daddy.
He's the only one that worked.
The only one that really worked hard.
Yeah.
The others fiddled around, they done a little figuring and horse trading, as the old saying is, and they got along all right.
Well, you took after several of them.
Well, I've done a little bit of all of it, if they tell you the damn truth about it. They don't need to lie. They don't need to lie.
Put it this way.
I got some of the whole damn stock.
You got some of the good qualities from all of them.
Yeah, I got some of the best. I do a little horse trading and all that stuff, see?
Yeah.
And then still, I got our work. Now, I am honest. If I owe you, I pay you.
Now, I didn't quite get that about the house. Now, which one of them... Got it and couldn't pay for it?
That was Uncle Joseph, Daddy's brother that was younger than him.
Yeah, Uncle Joseph.
Uh-huh. And he never did pay for it. And Uncle George got paid the taxes in his name, and he got a hold of it.
I see.
Well, he kept promising the fella that had Uncle Josie borrowed the money from him. He kept telling him, I'm going to pay you when I hit a good crop. Yeah, I'm going to pay you the mortgage off.
Uncle George had that.
Yeah. And whenever Uncle George died, he yet hadn't paid it off.
Yeah.
And Uncle George hadn't died. When he did, I'd own that damn place. But I got down DeWitt Haig to go buy it for him. Uncle George wouldn't sell it to me.
Oh.
DeWitt Haig was going to buy it and give him the money and had to make the deed to me. Of course, I'm glad in a way that I didn't get it for the simple reason when Uncle George died, that place went to his oldest daughter. He married the Alma's brother, you know, Ham.
Oh.
And Ham said the place cost more to clear up the title of that damn place than the whole damn thing was worth.
Oh.
But Uncle George, you know what I mean, when that mortgage got 20 years old, it run out. See? He kept putting Jim Bishop off the doctor. They financed the damn thing to buy it when Grandma Wilson died. Excuse me. Well, he kept putting him off. He didn't make nothing this year. He didn't make nothing this year. Maybe next year he'd hit the lick and he gave me his $950. He said, all I want is my money back. I don't give a damn about the interest. And he wouldn't pay that. So, Hamp had all that to do, and lots of darn, I think Uncle George had mortgaged a time or two, had all them bills against it, and I was reading DeWitt was going to buy it, and when he went to make the deed, he said, make that to Herbert Wilson instead of me. Yeah, your damn money. And Uncle George died on a Christmas day. Yeah, the next couple of weeks, he was supposed to get the damn papers all straightened out. But now, see, suppose I'd have went ahead and bought it, or let DeWitt buy it for me, and they'd have deed made to me. Well, I was going to owe DeWitt for it. Then I'd have done all that title clearing from way back. I'm glad I didn't buy it. Because Hamp, when it was turned over to Lula, he wanted where you get title insurance. By God, he said the damn place cost a hell of a lot more than the damn thing was worth. So he'd give to Lula. But it cost more than the damn place is worth to get all the damn paperwork straight back on it. Or you get into title insurance.
Well, who owned it when you lived in it?
Uncle Josie owned it. Uncle George was renting it to me and paying the taxes.
Oh. So he wasn't out very much.
He wasn't out a damn thing. Hell, he was gaining.
You lived there 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years I lived there. And when I went to move out of that damn place, I was going to move over there down the lane from Lowell's. They got me on jury duty, and I never will like old Judge Murphy. Never again. But that old bastard, was moving with horses and wagons, and I had one wagon loaded and the other backed up there to the damn porch, put my damn furniture and stuff on, but Debbie brought the damn subpoena to go to jury duty, and he took me over there, and the judge wouldn't let me off, and it was rainy looking as hell, and the judge wouldn't let me off. I told him, you know what I mean, let you give you an excuse for being off. Told him I just wanted off that day to finish moving, had part of my stuff on the wagons, and nobody out there to move but the old lady. She didn't have no help.
It raining.
And it drizzling rain. Now, she did get the mattress off, and there, you know what I mean, and some of the stuff. And that son of a bitch told me, so that's all the excuse you've got, says be off, says jury duty, says we'll just put all the whole court off for next week or a week or two or another month and say let everybody get the business straight and say then we'll come back and have court. Thank you, Judge. I ain't said another damn word, just sit down. Madder than hell. Now, you know, if I'd had plenty of money, I'd have got up there and slapped him side the head that day.
It'd
been worth the damn price. By God, I'm telling you, that old judge, I never will like that bastard.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. You're going to
explain
go.
To him that I was moving, had a lot of my stuff on the wagon, was moving across the field. I said, I'll be back here tomorrow. I'd like to be excused for just today.
Yeah.
So everybody feel right away about it. Said, we'll just put it off for a week and maybe a month. And everybody will get the business tended to and says, then we'll start in half court again. Everybody can be here. God damn, I got mad. If I hadn't sat down, I expect they'd have me in jail now, because I'd have went around and slapped hell out of him. I asked him, you know what a reasonable excuse is? That's what I asked him. What I did, and he said, yeah, and I said, don't believe you do, and I just peeled him inside the head. A whap! So by God, I learned you where you got an excuse to come out with a black eye or not.
Well, why would you want to leave a good house like that?
Well, Uncle George got teed off with me in the first place because his nigger wouldn't. I'd left my bill for when I sold tobacco, see, at the house and went up to Live Oak. And I left my bill for in my in there on the bed with about $2,000 or $4,000 in it.
Uh-oh.
And this old nigger, when I left there, we was going on, you know, when I sold tobacco the next day, I was going on up to my wife's mother's. But I ain't changing clothes when I got the tobacco load on the truck and I was going to ride the truck up there, see that much bus fare. And Mary got ready, and I run in, just jerked my shirt and britches off and slipped on some more. Well, I emptied my pockets and threw them on the bed where changing clothes. And I just forgot to put the damn things in my pocket. I was in a hurry. And when I got up there, I didn't have a goddamn dollar. And I got to Live Oak with that load back, I didn't have a dollar. I had to borrow money, by God, to get a hotel room that night. And I had an old nigger was staying there. Well, he cleans up the house, you know what I mean, and helping me cook and all this, that, and the other. But neither one of us was there, and $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 in that damn billfold just laying there open on the bed. That nigger got that money. But in all them quilts, you know, I showed you where he put the money in the quilts and the little old closet thing there over that old house. And wouldn't let nobody in that damn house. Uncle George and Aunt Alice come over there. Now, he was supposed to be owning the place. But I rented it. It was mine. It wasn't his. That nigger was done pretty good. He got Aunt Alice and Uncle George a chair and put it in that little front shed room. But he would not let them go in the body part of the house. He'd a little drizzle of rain. Got a little cool, and the nigga sitting there with a damn shotgun wouldn't let him go in the house. So you come on the porch, and you can go in that little shed room where old boss and them ain't you.
Where the kitchen was? No.
No, that was on the front porch. On the front porch. You know, it was a room on the front porch out there.
No.
Huh? Yeah.
That was the north side of the house.
You're on the north side of the house.
There was a room out there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bedroom out there, but me and Mary didn't use it. And he set him a chair piece in there and said, Mr. Wilson, says, I'm sorry. I says, if old boss is here, so you come on in, said, I'd build up a fire. But says, if old boss misses it, gone, and says, my orders let nobody in his house except old Miss's mother, old boss's mother and daddy. Says, or not even his brothers can come in his house. Little boss's brother can't even come in here. See, that's the reason I got this shotgun sitting here. And it's loaded. See, nobody goes in the body part of this house. Nobody goes in the kitchen. Nowhere else in this house. So you can come on the front porch. Go on the back porch. You can go in this little shed room here. And Uncle George was talking about going to kill my old smart nigger. That nigger tended my damn business. He wrote my damn checks. I didn't write them. I'd sign them. If I wanted a damn business letter wrote, that nigga had the prettiest damn handwriting you ever seen. I hired him to plow a horse. By God, he couldn't plow. Plow a damn lick. But he tended the damn stock, helped the old miss. And now, God, he'd go in there and cook. He'd fix the damn prettiest, damn nice cake you ever seen. And Uncle George got mad with me about the nigga, and he said, that's the kind of damn nigga I was going to have over there. Well, the nigga stayed in a little house further down the road, see? You know, like we come up that lane. You know, I told you it used to be a little old house stood there, down tore down.
Yeah.
Well, the niggers live there. But when daylight come, that nigger was at the house and had the horses fed. And when dark come, he sat down and eat his supper and right back down that little shack he went. But next morning, daylight, he's right back up there. And I could tell him, I'd slam you. How about going out there and getting such and such a cow up? Yes, sir, boss, just quick as I see the old miss got some stove wood, some water. And he didn't give a damn. He wouldn't go get that hog or a cow. I told him to go get it, a horse, out of the field. Well, he seen that old miss had stove wood in the kitchen.
Damn.
Plenty of damn water.
Boy, wouldn't you like to have one like that?
Hey, she's spoiled.
No, he just, by God, he thought me and the old miss was Jesus Christ. I said, that boss said, I don't want to be impotent, but said, I'm going to tell you. Said, when old miss gets ready to cook, says she got to have wood and water. Said, that cow horse will wait a minute or two. Said, I'll do it fast. Said, I got to do that first. Said, old missus, where it comes first? Says, she's the one feeding us.
I know George got teed off.
He got mad in hell about it. I told him, I said, well, George, you missed my damn nigga. I'll kill you. But I decided not to rent for him anymore.
Oh, you decided?
Yeah. So I just moved. Who the hell was
it? And he took care of all that money for you.
That nigga put that money in them damn quilts, and by God, when we come back, he got up on the front porch with a shotgun in one hand, his hat in the other. Now, he never spoke to me or my wife that he didn't have his hat in his hand. That's right. He took that hat off and bowed. Old boss, miss, I'm sure glad you're here. Said, what's wrong, Flynn? Boss, you know what you done? I said, hell, I've been to Georgia. What the hell are you talking about? And something like that. And he said, boss says, you had me scared to death, and I ain't slept a damn wink on it since y'all been gone. So what sleeping I do? I do on that front porch and the house will lock up. The key in my pocket.
How about that?
Yeah. He said, you left your bill fool right on the bed. Said, anybody could have got it. Said, didn't you know better than that? I said, hell, didn't think. He said, how much money you have in there? I said, hell, I don't know, $2,000 or $4,000. Whatever that damn tobacco sold for the other day.
That's scared him dead.
God damn, that nigga said, you come in here, I don't know how much money you got. Said, don't you count it. When I see all your money this, and I ain't spent a nickel of it. I ain't spent a nickel.
And that was your money.
It's my damn money. It's gonna be my wife.
That's a lot of money.
And he took that damn quilt out of there. He got way down. We had a stack of quilts, I bet you that high in that closet. He got way down and unfolded one of them. And folded that money up in there. And oh, hell, he had them damn quilts squared up like that. Sent them back there and set them other quilts on top of it.
Nobody could find
him. He said he wouldn't even count the damn money. He said, I wouldn't even open that bill for. He said, I seen the money in there. But said, I said, I couldn't touch that money. He said, man, that bill for was fat.
More money than he ever.
That's more money, I reckon, that nigga there. Now, he might have, as good education that nigga got, he might have been a well-to-do nigga, but he was a hobo when I hired him.
Oh.
Well, he had been a hobo, let's put it away. Jeff Harris hired him to dig stumps. And he come away one day and asked me, could he have a job? I said, Mr. Harris, says, that was Gus's old man.
Yeah.
Says, he got us over there digging stumps and said, we about dug them all. And said, I need me another job. So we get them few stumps dug. I said, would you give me a job? I said, yeah. Pay you every damn day, or I'll pay you every week, or I'll pay you every month, any damn way you want. Told him how much I'd give him. He said, that's just fine. That's just fine. So let's move in. I said, them other niggas dig that stumps. I said, they won't have, said, they won't have a good boy as man as I got, and I get over here with you. I said, all these niggas done told me about you. Yeah, all them niggas done told me about you. I said, when you tell a man you're going to do something, you're going to do it.
Hmm.
He said, Mr. Chap says, sometimes says, he don't come out and pay us on Saturday evening like he's supposed to. Maybe wait till Monday. I said, I like my money when Saturday comes. I said, I like to get me a little booze. But I kept that nigga, me and that nigga together, 5 gallons of good moonshine at least at all times.
Oh, really?
That's right.
But you didn't make it?
No, I bought it.
Well, you had a treasure. That was something.
Well, the old nigga got drunk, rode my stallion one day, and I told him not to. If he ever done it again, he didn't have a job, and I let him have him again. He got drunk and sent my damn horse on.
Oh.
When he come walking in about a week later, that had it in hand. So, how do you, old boss, and old miss? And what do you want, Slim? He said, I want to know, says, if it's all right for me to come in. Slim, do you remember what I told you when you rode my horse off the other time, got drunk? Yes, but says, I thought maybe you'd think it over this week and forgive me. I says, no, hell, I told you didn't have no damn job. No more job than a damn rabbit. I want you another place to pay. Mary said, well, honey, said, you know we need Slim, and he needs a place to stay. I said, I don't give a damn. I told him, by God, ahead of time, twice. And I said, this is the second time he rode that horse and him drinking. I told him not to take a drink, ride my stallion. Now, the first time he come up here, he couldn't hardly walk. And I told him if he done it again, he didn't have no more job than a damn rabbit, and by God, I mean it. So Slim didn't have no job, but every time I'd go to town, he'd hunt me up. Boss, you forgive me yet? I said, yeah, I forgive you and forgot it and forgot you too. I'm sorry I done that damn nigga that way, because he's a damn good one. But after I told him he didn't have no job in rabbit, by God, I was going to stay with him. I don't give a damn how it hurt me.
Yeah.
And Mary talking about, well, honey,
what were you
going
to say if it was?
I didn't give a damn if it hurt me. I got out and stayed with my word about the thing.
If it hair lipped?
If it hair lipped, hell.
Yeah. See, what I'm does that mean, Herbert, if it hair lipped?
Well, when your hair lipped hell, you know that little hair lip, you know, on a human being?
Yeah.
When hell's got that away, well, I got that. That is what I mean.
Yeah.
It'd be impossible to hair lip hell.
Yeah.
Right. And I wasn't going to put up that negative more because. If I'd have took him back, he'd have done it again. I didn't mind furnishing whiskey. His whiskey didn't cost him a dime in the world.
Yeah.
He had him a glass, and every meal before he eat, he drank a damn water glass full.
Oh, he would?
Yeah. I did, too. Hell. God, when I went in the
you
army.
You didn't need a water bucket out there.
I didn't drink water. When I was flying a horse, I carried a gallon stone jug. Well, whiskey on it, right on the hames of that damn horse. And I won't drink the water. I said, whoa, go around and open that damn jug up and take me a drink of that damn whiskey. Stop it up, hang it back up there, and walk around it. Yep. Fly on. God, I plowed a many day with nothing on one of these little old T-shirts without any sleeves in it. Cut my britches off there. Didn't have a damn pair of shoes on. Didn't have a hat on.
Yeah,
I plowed one horse in the morning, one in the afternoon, because by God, didn't I have them so damn poor at the end of the year, by God, they would not, they'd been wobbling to walk.
Wear a hat?
No, didn't wear no hat. No hat, no shoes, no shirt, and damn near no breeches.
Cut them off.
Got to take a brand new pair and cut them off way up there.
Just get out there and
get out there and get it. Plow them old briars, you know how them old briars go, and you'd be plowing with a two-horse plow? Them briars just skin your damn leg to beat hell. I want me two horses in the morning, two in the evening. But I'd pull that line upside their sides every now and again. Yeah, a little faster here. Just watch that dirt roll. Flying corn, I just like to see that corn look like it's, every time you go by a hill, it kind of jump up that way.
Yeah.
Like the other side, it
yeah.
Like jump up and turn the other way a little.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Flying and hoeing. The same damn thing, flying, holding the one damn machine.
Mm-hmm.
You might be playing just same as plowing and holding. You getting that damn stuff? You ain't got a place maybe wide as that wire there hardly.
Oh, I see.
That
yeah.
That's when you're plowing and holding. Now a lot of people get way off
yeah,
the corn
yeah,
to plow.
Yeah.
Hell, I plowed deep enough.
See,
now
that's one thing we don't have a picture of. We all have that. I keep forgetting. Seem like we talked more about Grandma Clark. Wilson.
Grandma Wilson?
The other day, or
she,
did we?
I don't know. She
well,
gave me the first hog that ever I owned in my life. She had some little white hog, Chester Whites.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, going around to stay with her, you know, at night, some of me, Lola, Edward, some of us, and going to stay with Grandma at night, keep them being by herself. And, she had five or six little old mangy pigs there. She mixed up some sulfur and lard. Now, you know that damn thing stunk. Some old rank lard. And that damn sulfur mix and made a paste out of it. And she told me, she said, Herbert, said, if you'll grease these pigs, says, for me, says, I'll give you one of them. I said, well, that's all right, Grandma. I'll grease them for you. That will get it. I went out and greased them damn pigs. And one day, Papa, I told him, I said, Daddy wouldn't let me have him over there at the house. Well, I think he will. I said, I'll talk to Johnny. So one day, Daddy was over there, and he told him, he said, And I give Herbert one of them pigs, and she'd pick out the best from him. And I said, oh, no, sir, Herbert don't charge you nothing for tending that breeding them pigs. Well, I'm going to get him grazing one more time, said, and they'll be well. Had the old mange on me, scuffly up, sunburnt, mange. And she got me to graze him again. One day, Daddy and all of us over there, seemed like it was on Sunday. Grandma went out there, they had an old garden right out in front of that old house out there in these them woods. Called them pigs in that garden. Called Daddy out. He said, Johnny, said, come in. He said, bring a string. The little old pig wasn't about that high. And, well, what you want, Mom? Well, you get a string, come in. So he says, catch that pig down there. Pick that best looking damn pig's head. So what are you going to do with him? That Herbert's hog, said, you're going to carry him home and see, Johnny. Well, we carried that hog home.
With a string around his foot?
Tied all his 4 feet together.
Oh, you did?
Told him in that buggy. Carried that hog home and kept him that year. The damn thing there would breathe. Little souse, wouldn't breathe. Well, she got the way she was like 300 or 400 and some few pounds when I sold her. Daddy told me one day, Herbert said, you might as well sell that hog and get you another one. Well, he sold hogs, and hogs, the first hog ever I sold, Daddy, you know, they're just common hogs. You sell an old man something means that Daddy got 2.5 or either 2¾ cents a pound for his hog, and they were tops. Well, mine was way over a damn top, what they call a heavy. And old man something means give me 3 cents for mine. First hog ever sold in my damn life. 3 cents a pound. And Daddy got after old man me and says, how come his hog's worth more than mine? He says, well, Johnny says, it's like this. So that boy says, that'll help get him interested in farming. Says he can take this and buy him 2 or 3 hogs. The old man says, he can't have one at a time. He says, well, he can have some money put in the bank somewhere. Says, I'm giving him more. Says, you donated the feed. Says, I'm donating a little money on it. See, that's how come his hog bring more than yours. I'd have tickled this damn little nigga you ever seen.
Did you heard him say that?
Yeah. Told Daddy right before me. Says, that's all. Says, if I were just buying that hog from you, says, you wouldn't bring over 2.5 cents a pound at most. Or 2 cents, a little less than what tops would bring. And I think it's 2.5 or either 2 or 3/4 cents a pound Daddy sold them damn hogs, old damn wagon loads of them. Yeah, wagon loads of them. And I'd made a deal out the house and hauled him uptown and weighed him. God dang, I was a tickle nigga when that man said the 3 cents a pound. Now that's cheapest hog ever I sold.
I guess so.
But I sold some at a hell of a good price. And I have said that I would be glad to see pork chops $1 a pound. And me, his brother, was down there one day, and pork chops had got to $1 a pound. Well, we all went to town. We decided we wanted some pork chops or something. Me and me said, ask them how they'd like to have pork chops. Well, we didn't have any. We didn't have freezers. And I kind of wanted some pork chops. Went down to the damn store. I don't know. I think I bought 10 pounds of the damn things. And asked the man how much I owed him. $10. Wes says, God damn, said, put them back. Says, I can't eat them damn things. $1 a pound? I said, hell, me and Mary eat what we damn please. We don't never look at the price. My God, the price tag don't mean a damn thing to us. But her brother that runs his trucking business from the house there said he couldn't even eat one of them pork chops, even though I was paying for it. Said, I can't afford to eat them pork chops. Said, $1 a pound?
Whose brother?
Me, brother, my wife's brother.
Oh, is that his brother?
Yeah. Big Wes is my wife's brother. And he writes that phone's in his name.
Yeah. Well, I forgot who that was.
Yeah, that's my wife's brother. The only one of her whole damn family, since her mother died, I give a damn for her now.
This house, now, it never had any, Grandma Clark's house, it never did have any paint on it.
Not a bit. has ever had a drop of paint it only is spilled on it.
And it didn't have one glass windows.
No, these old wooden shutters.
They're just on a hinge.
Yeah, on a hinge, just like a damn door. Just like you'd open and shut that door. That's the way you open and shut and had no hook, you know, on an eye, staple or something.
Yeah. Well, what would they keep out? Just the wind? Or?
Yeah. Just keep the wind out. If you want to see out, well, I got you open the damn window. Or if it got hot in there, you open the windows and prop them back and get your air through your house. And
did you call them the shutters or the windows?
I always called them windows.
Yeah,
that, but
the
it was actually the true name for it would be a shutter.
Yeah.
But no ceiling. Damn people live back. Damn people live back in rough. But I'd rather live in that right now if it was just patched up a little and had good flooring and that walkway between that kitchen and all. I'd fix that damn thing. I'd rather live it in my house. 2-1.
Now
I ain't never seen nothing that damn ugly.
You standing on the.
That's on the back porch, ain't it? Yeah.
No, that's on the little house. That's on the kitchen.
This is the kitchen over here, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. You're standing on the back porch? Looking at the kitchen?
Yeah. Watch here, I'm right there. Ain't that where I... No, wait a minute. I was standing on the damn kitchen porch, Steve.
You're standing on the kitchen porch, eh? Yeah. Well, anyhow...
Ain't that right, Guy?
I think
you're standing on the kitchen backwards.
No, the kitchen's
one. No, this is in that walkway thing, ain't it?
Well,
and the kitchen would be back here.
That's a little clear.
Yeah.
Okay. I was out in the yard then between them.
Yeah.
And this is the old house over here.
And they can see where they used to wash up outside.
Mm-hmm.
That shelf out there.
Yeah. This old kitchen back there, see, and I was standing out looking out there in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I'd just been around the corner there, so I'm taking a leak.
Now,
then,
that,
right there was part of the old water shelf. Right up here was a little old place where they kept the soap and all that stuff up there. But the water shelf come out from there out to this edge out here. That's how high it was.
Mm-hmm.
And come off out here, they just where the old porch was. See, part of it's gone, man.
Now, that kitchen back there has got kitchen and two rooms in it? Got a kitchen in it?
Got a kitchen and a dining room.
Yeah.
And on the inside of the kitchen part is a little cabinet in there, your little closet for your groceries.
Yeah.
Call that the pantry.
Oh,
that
it
was
is.
A pantry, yeah.
That's a pantry in there.
Yeah.
Yes,
you don't remember it had the little shelves in there, Guy, that you set your canned stuff on, your groceries on, you set them on anywhere from the floor right on up to the damn near the top of the thing, and had shelves about so wide in there, set your canned goods around on there.
And that's where you had your wood stove.
No, I had the wood stove in the main part of the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean the main part of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then, but you eat on the other side.
On the other side of that partition.
Well, now that was sort of that living in style.
Yeah.
People that lived like that was living in style.
That sounds way you know to live along then.
Yeah.
It was cold out there and by that washstand.
You damn right. I went out there many time and broke the ice off in them water buckets and washing that damn ice water right out of the bucket. Just take the damn dip or something and jug a hole in there. Get that water and pour it in, wash your face and hands. Go in and sit down and eat.
That'll wake you up in the morning, I bet you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I hate to even get up and walk out the house and it's cool. Much less when it's cold.
Did you have...
At Jerry, it used to be a hell of a lot colder here then than it is now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
This is a year to winter when I was... And I've seen in quite a number of years. This is near a winter.
Did you have to have your own dining table in there, or did one in there?
No, we put our dining table in there.
I see.
We had our own dining table.
Well, where'd you get it? That time?
Well, that's one that belonged to Grandma Sanders that we moved over there. Mom and Daddy gave us when we got married. And I bought a little old stove. I don't believe about that square. Well, it's number 8 wood stove. And number 8 wood stove. And
number 8 the size?
Yeah. That damn thing wasn't about that big, but it had 4 eyes up there. And hell, we cooked on it and had an oven down there. You baked in there. Oh, dang, he
brand new.
Bought it on credit from Carl Williams. You met Emory Williams over there at the Thanksgiving, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, I believe you did. Don't you remember Claude Brennan, another big fella? You remember Lola over there rubbing a fella's feet with some of that icy hot? Well, you might have done gone when he got there, but he was over there.
Was he there?
Yeah, Emory was there. I bought it from his brother, running a hardware store down there where the Lodgeway hardware store is now.
Yeah.
Bought it on a credit. I think it's $7, $8, maybe $10.
Yeah.
Didn't have a dollar in the world. Guy, when I got married, I had a $5 bill, and I borrowed $5 from my mother. That's how much money I had. Well, I done sold, I bet you $3,000 worth of hogs and in a month or two, I went in, a couple $1,000 worth of tobacco, paid off what I'd borrowed, and throwed the rest of it away. Yeah, I done spent it. Big time, big shot. Money gave out, then I decided to get married. That's right, Ed. I've been a car wreck, and I'm dating you. I live from one day to the other. I like to live.
Yeah.
Now, since I've got old, you see, like putting all them collard greens in that freezer. I got meat in there.
Yeah.
I got sausage in there.
Yeah.
And a little bit of anything can be froze. I got 2 cases of juice down here at Francis that I'm going to make jelly out of. I ain't got a damn bit of use for it. But I hardly ever eat a bite of jelly. Now why in the hell that's in that there's old fireplace? Now, Mama?
Yeah.
You gonna say you gonna call me a liar too, because I believe Guy and Jay thought it. They might not, they didn't say it, but they thought it. You can sit down in this living room by this fireplace. That's a double fireplace, one on this side of the house and one on the other side. One's for the bedroom and one's for the living room. Either side that you sit of that fireplace at night, you can hear something bumping.
Oh?
Like that. And it was that away from the time that I can remember, which I wasn't no way near 9 years old, when somewhere around 9 when Grandma died.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with her a many a night to keep from staying by herself. Me and all of my brothers and sisters that was from my age up would go spend the night with Grandma, walk across the field from Lola's, where Lola was living, across that house, spend the night with her. Next morning we had to get up and come home, get the calves up, milk the cows, get ready and go to school, walk Perseverance. But right in there, on this side or the other side of that chimney.
Nothing.
And I went under there with a damn fire seal flashlight and smoothed that ground off, even after I got married. Didn't have a damn chicken in the yard. Smooth the ground off, and I was going to find out what was knocking on that floor. My wife didn't believe it till she heard it. I told her that damn little house was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Oh, honey, you're crazy." I said, "What the hell do you say?" I said, "When you go in there and sit down after you go eat, come in and sit down before you go to bed, you sat there within an hour, you hear that knocking."
That's the haunts. They're in there.
And by God, they are there. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it, but they're there. God damn it, when you know something that happens, from the time you were 7 or 8 years old until now, and I believe if you go there and sit down in that damn room right now, either one of them, on either side of that fireplace, you hear that damn knocking.
But that's while Grandma Clark,
Grandma Wilson
was
living, yeah, when I was a kid. Hell, I wasn't even 9 years old. I wasn't 10 or no. I know I wasn't 10 years old, but I believe Grandma died when I was 9 or either 10 years old. And she died in that room right where I showed you. But I don't know now. Some people can say it's imagination or what. But Grandma used to stand in her bedroom. The bed wasn't but about that far from the wall, and she'd get on the off side of the bed. She'd walk around the bed this way and get over there and look out that window. She's always looking out at the garden out in front of that house.
Well,
and I've seen her do it a many days.
Both of them, that chimney, that was a high chimney.
Yeah. The damn roof was high.
You can tell.
I never saw anything that high. What was that, something special?
No, just had to build a chimney according to how high the house.
Well.
See, your chimney goes up like that above your house.
Now way up there, still there.
Yeah, still there.
That knocking was right there.
Right there in front of the fire hearth. Just like the stove there, you sit down in here somewhere back here and you'll hear that knocking right down in between you and the fireplace.
You never told Faye about the buried treasure.
Well, I believe it's a buried treasure there. I actually do.
Oh.
Because the old lady lived there, she lived right down there. Across the, you know where we come out and see them pecan trees up there to the right of where we come out at the back of Thomas? She lived there, and she had all kinds of damn money, the people said. Now, that's what I've been told. This is hearsay. She moved from there up to this house, and she died up there. And nobody has never found none of the damn money that old woman had. And they said she had barrels of it. And I still believe some damn money around that damn place buried somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just a belief.
Mm-hmm.
That could be why that knocking's there.
Well, now, you had a porch. Now, this is that house down there. But now, there in those two big rooms there where you're standing.
Yeah.
One of them was a living room. The other was a bedroom.
Yeah.
Now, in that bedroom, how many beds I have?
Two. Lots of times they had two in that other room. They had
the
two beds
room.
In this one and two in this one on
yeah.
each side of the chimney.
Yeah. So you.
Then they had a bedroom, you know, back over where Grandma died, and one across that little hallway.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what you call it. It was open, just an open walkway, and then you walked out of that, and you went from there across the regular walk and went into the porch on the kitchen.
Yeah. But now this one down here, I don't know quite how to draw this. How big was that house down there at old man Pope's house? Was that the same size as this? This one here,
I wouldn't say. Now, it was
maybe
something similar to it.
Yeah. And the kitchen was about the same?
Yeah.
And the distance between them about the same?
Yeah, approximately.
Well, now that's pretty.
And well, built approximately like it because on that back porch, you know, on the main part of old man Polk's house.
Yeah.
Like his house sitting here.
Yeah, right here it is.
The front porch.
Right here.
Then the body part
right
of the
here,
house.
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the front porch here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had this little shed room back over here, see? And then
yeah,
you come out
that?
Here.
Just for
right, no,
that's
a bedroom.
That's
bedroom. And I wouldn't say for sure where it had a bedroom or the front of that porch or not. That's Uncle B, folks. I don't know.
Well, now,
I call him Uncle B, and I don't reckon he's my uncle because I caught his baby daughter.
Uncle B.
Oh, John B. Polk.
John B.
Yeah.
That's what they all called him, Uncle B.
And well, everybody called him Uncle B because he's old as hills, look like.
Yeah.
He's about as high as I am, a little bit stouter. Not quite as high as I am.
Yeah.
A little bit stouter. And that gal is a pretty thing.
And,
she had
her mother.
She had weak eyes, but she was a good sized stout woman.
What did you call her?
Sis France.
Sis France, that's right.
Her name was Francis.
Oh,
and me and her, one of her son-in-laws called her Sis France, because the old lady had raised a little hell with us, because me and Wiley, her son-in-law, would get out and get a little tight, you know, and have a little fun. That old lady would give us hell.
Well, now inside here, this was two rooms.
Yeah,
this
I think
petition.
It was. Yeah.
You don't know much about the inside of it.
Well, I've been in it many times, but I'd be damned if I remember.
What is this? You rub this petition out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a door over here.
Yeah.
Right through the middle.
Yeah. I don't know why I read that out, because this was bedroom back here. I know, and I believe it was a bedroom over there and one over here.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a fire room in there. This was a log partition there, though, that sure was hell.
Log?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This was a fire room. What are these for?
Bedroom.
Just big bedrooms?
Mm-hmm. I know the bedroom.
Well, that was a pretty good sized house then. They had a whole lot of bedrooms. Well, now, them bedrooms there in Grandma Wilson's house, they were little. But these
they
were pretty good size.
They was bigger. I believe them was bigger.
But this wasn't big.
No, it wasn't. No, it was about like that little room where I showed you where Grandma died.
Yeah. Well, it was not small.
It wasn't no damn little one, but it was no big one.
So. But it didn't have a partition here. Wasn't cutting through them.
I believe it was cut somewhere or another, because it was a damn room here. Fire room was over there.
Mm-hmm.
All this was logs in here, I'm quite sure. And I know there was a bedroom over there and one here. And the living room was in here somewhere, and it seemed to me like another room out there. It was a room out there.
So,
here would
it
be
didn't
water.
Have a
here,
hall around
here
the middle, did it?
No. You just come through the thing this way, but they had beds over here. Over here, here, here. They had
a
pretty good sized family. Damn, I wouldn't guarantee it now, God. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. Now, where was the fire?
The fire was along in here. Fireplace right along in here.
Right along in here?
Yeah.
Big chimney?
Yeah. And here's where I knocked the damn lamp off the damn porch.
Yeah.
And that old lady said, oh, they could give us a light to court by. I told her, by God, didn't need a light. I damn sure busted the lamp, too. She put another night in, I threw it out, and yard that and didn't bust. But she decided she didn't need a fire out there, and her daughters were the other daughters that was married, one that married the police in High Springs, another that married another old steam down there. They was over there that night, and they got to raising hell with them all, and the old man said they had to come in. I said, by God, we'll be in when we get ready to get in.
Who was over there?
Her daughters. So one that married Hamp Osteen, the chief of police in High Springs.
Oh.
And the other one, the other man at Osteen too, it wasn't, it's Wiley Welch. That's the one me and him called the old lady Sis France and Ma France and all that damn stuff.
Yeah.
And Hamp's wife, the policeman's wife, and this boy, me and him run around a lot together, and he's married to that gal, and I was going with her sister. They got through in hell, and the old man and the old lady said we had to come in. I told them, by God, we'd come in, we got good and goddamn ready. We knowed when we ought to go in, and we was out there talking. It was none of their damn business what we was talking about, neither. And finally, they went on to bed, and some of them went home, some went to bed, and after a while, Ferg went in the house and went to her bed, and I slept on that little back porch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, I'd go down to hell and stay a week short time. Catch old Peggy right down the road, down there where that Santa Fe High School road crosses the railroad where he took her.
Well,
go down and flag the damn train down, catch and go down the knee and walk across the damn woods.
You practically a member of the family.
Well, I was slightly. I was always welcome. I didn't like it, but I was welcome. I acted like it in here.
Yeah. And then you caught one of the girls.
Yeah, I was courting that girl, courting the baby girl. She married Kelvin Brown in High Springs, and he hates my guts today.
Now, is Brown one of them two brown boys that was roughnecks?
Yeah. You damn right they were rough. They cut the hell out of you.
But he quit that?
I reckon. I don't know. I miss him. Now, he knows damn well not miss me, because I always carried that old 38 with a 6-inch barrel.
Oh, you did?
Yes, ma'am. Mama, I ain't let no damn body hit me up. Hell, ain't no way. Ain't no way for them to hit me up. If they do, they gonna be a human thing. They'll come through 6.38 bullets. And I don't believe man gonna do that.
not the one who threatened to kill you.
Oh, I know that's George Miller.
Yeah.
From down in Williford.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're in Nevada, where they live with Jack Dernsty, right back of me, threatened to kill me twice. Come on, shoot. Hell, your damn gun won't shoot. Pull the damn trigger, hell, it won't fire. And him with a shotgun right in my face. Shoot, Danny, I said, the damn old gun won't shoot.
Woo-hoo.
I know damn well it would. But that gun bear, that muzzle of that gun bear, looked just about big around that damn light there.
Hmm.
And the fella drinking,
yeah.
And you walking into that damn gun, I didn't have a damn thing, not even pocket knife. I walked on in there and took it away from him, though.
Heaven?
No, I don't actually be nobody shoot me.
Wesley. You don't?
No. Hell, they're scared to. But I reckon I get that from an old fella, old Uncle Dolphus Shard. The old soul dead and gone. Now, you know, he even bought his casket. And he was a goddamn mean. He built his damn house where he lived in at least 10 or 12 foot off the ground on post. And he kept bulldogs in his yard. He bought his damn casket and put in it. Every now and again, he'd get drunk, try it on for size. That's right. Get in that damn casket, lay down. So, Donna, wouldn't I make a pretty corpse?
I've often.
Well, I don't know how true it is, but old man John Rawls, Uncle George's wife's daddy, told me that he seen old man Richard, old Uncle Dolph, driving down the road, and these old niggers knowed him. And the nigger that asked him for a drink of his whiskey was working for old man Rawls. And old man Rawls had to carry the damn nigger to the doctor to get his stomach pumped out about drinking so much whiskey. Well, on that curve, you know, down the other side, like you're going down from Alma, like you're going to come in by Perseverance, right there on that curve, the nigger was living in a little old shack there. Uncle Dolph come down the road and made that curve, and that damn nigger asked him for a drink of whiskey. You know what I mean? In other words, Uncle Dolph stopped and talked with him, and pulled up his damn bottle and took a drink, sit back down on that old lap road, you know, like we're talking about, we're heading in buggies. And the nigger standing there and says, Uncle Dolph, says, how about get a poor nigger a drink of that whiskey? He said, yeah, boy, heck self. Handed the bottle, and while that nigger walked up to get the bottle, he just pulled his horse around that way and got that nigger between the buggy wheel and the frame of the buggy. That nigger took a drink out of that quart of whiskey. Went to hand it back to Uncle Dolph. Uncle Dolph said, no. Said, I don't drink half of no goddamn nigger. Said, I got all I want from Mr. Uncle Dolph. Said, you ain't drink that damn bottle full yet. Said, I got another. Said, just help yourself. I got all I want. No, by God, you ain't. Says, you gonna drink that damn whiskey. He reached down in the buggy seat side and pulled up that 38. Said, drink it or die right here. Said, I don't give a damn which. He made that damn nigger stand there and drink that whole damn quart of whiskey. And when that nigger, old man Rawls, went, he didn't show up to work when he ought to, and old man Rawls went to see about him, he was just about dead. And old man Rawls had to carry him out of his stomach pumped out. It's a good little bit before that nigger ever hit another damn little work, coming to damn kill him. And Uncle Dolph just soon kill a man as to look at him. Soon kill a man as to kill a damn chicken to eat.
I've often.
Who was he?
Old Uncle Dolph Richard.
How you spell it?
R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
Uh-huh.
And he raised some damn, his brother married some, raised some damn mean damn young'uns.
Lived up there.
Yeah. Lewis Hagen's brother married one of Richard Carlisle's girls. Nolan Hagen married Loomis's brother, married one of the Shard girls.
Yeah.
Now, she's fine little gal, but I don't cross her because she just soon can't just look at you.
Don't tell her.
You know Martha Shard worked in the drugstore a long time in Lotsway, didn't you? Little bitty gal?
Yeah. She's
Well, that is Uncle Doss. I believe his brother's young. It's me and them damn Richard to get them mixed up, but I think Carlisle and Uncle Doss was brothers. No, it wasn't, because by God, old man Doss was Carlisle's uncle.
Oh.
And I'm kind of kin to them damn people.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Sorry about that, but I can't help it. Yes,
well,
sir. I'm sorry about that, but can't help it.
If y'all will go outside, get your double breath of air,
I'm just
put some food on the table.
And I'm just, ain't no need to have nothing to eat, just a cup of coffee.
We haven't had any coffee in here, say.
I'll fix some coffee and give you a little something to eat.
Oh, you always want to feed.
Well, it won't be collards and greens,
well,
collards and cornbread.
I'm figuring on nothing happens. Tonight I'm eating collard greens, locally.
Oh boy.
Tomorrow night I'm eating collard greens at the house, and cornbread,
yeah.
Pepper sauce. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I got baked beans at the house already right now. All you got to do is heat them up and ready.
And you're just going to get some other something here.
Oh, I'm going to go around here.
Now this is around 1700, channel 1 right, and this is a noon break. This is a noon break. It's 1 o'clock, and we've been going for almost an hour and a half, and Jerry and Herbert going out to get a little air, and Faye's going to put a little food on the table. We'll sit there and eat a little bit. So this is 1700, channel 1 right, and this is a noon break, and we've been talking about an hour and a half, hour and a quarter. This Thursday, the 22nd of January, 76.